Father, we are so thankful for the Sabbath, for the rest, for the fellowship, and Lord, also for the time again to reflect upon your word. Lord, we pray that one last time you may use this man who is but dust to allow Jesus to be lifted up in his word. Lord, to draw our hearts back to the things of eternity and to encourage us in our journey home. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer, and we trust that you will help this to be our experience as we offer this prayer from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. In the light of our pending service of communion and foot washing, I wanted to share something that has helped me fully embrace this service in our church with a more wholehearted reception. When I was baptized into the church and I discovered this thing called the ordinance of humility, it was truly an ordinance of humility for me. And that is because I don't like feet. I don't like touching anybody's feet, and I don't want anyone touching my feet. So this whole thing of coming into the church and, okay, yeah, you're going to find some random person. You know, I wasn't married. Now you can wash your wife's feet. But I wasn't married, so some brother just pulls me aside and, hey, brother, let me wash your feet. And all I'm thinking is, I wonder what this brother's feet look like, because I don't know if I'll be able to do it. And this is a true story. I have gone to churches to visit and realized it was communion and walked out. I was like, oh no, I can't. I have to go to a different church. Because it was that hard for me. My wife, she thinks it's funny because my wife is very humble. She can wash anyone's feet, no problem. And one time I asked my wife, I said, why is it so easy for you to just wash any random person's feet? Like, go to a random church, they're like, oh, it's communion Sabbath. And in my mind, it's like, oh, no, I'm going to wait in the car. You know, you're trying to find awkward ways to get around it. My wife just links up with a sister and they're like, sure, I'll wash your feet. Yeah, no problem. And then she goes. And so I asked my wife, I'm like, why is it so easy for you to wash people's feet? She says, well, I don't want them to feel embarrassed about their feet. So I'm happy to wash their feet. So you go into the situation not wanting the other person to feel ashamed. And this is why you're willing to humble yourself and to do that. She said, yes. You know, that's when I realized my wife is more godly than me. All my preaching and all of that would never have produced that response. Just truly a lover of willing to put yourself aside for the sake of other people. It's one of the reasons why I look up to my wife, is because of that. And it wasn't until I was reading John chapter 15 that it struck me how important that concept is and what communion was all about and foot washing. The Bible says there, Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what does he do with it? He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now, it's interesting here that in the next verse, Jesus says something that almost for a second doesn't seem to follow his logic. I'm the vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you're waiting, okay, I'm following you, the vine, the branches, bearing fruit, not bearing fruit. And then he says in verse 3, you are already clean. You are already what? Clean. Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Hold on a second. How are we talking about clean? I thought we were talking about vines and branches and bearing fruit. Well, you see, on the surface, it doesn't immediately strike us in the English. But in the original language, the word prunes is the root word for the word clean. You see, I'm sure you guys know what pruning is, right? Cutting off dead branches. So you take a branch that is connected to a tree, and that branch is bearing fruit. But there are certain branches that are not bearing fruit. So apparently, God has somehow made this revealed to us that when you see a branch that's bearing fruit, but there's certain little branches on that branch that are not bearing fruit, you cut it off. And when you do that, it actually bears more fruit. So in essence, when you're pruning a branch, you are cleaning it. You're getting rid of all the dead branches. And Jesus says, you are already clean. In other words, he's talking to the disciples and he says to them, you are already in a state where everything has been pruned. Everything has, all the dead branches have been removed from your life. And he says, why are you already clean? Because of the word that I spoke to you. What word is this? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to go back to John 13. So go back to John 13 with me. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 2. The Bible says, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to God, he rose up from supper, laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Now, I want you to understand that as Jesus comes into this foot washing, you and I both know the situation, perhaps in history, that back in those days, you were walking around Jerusalem. We didn't necessarily have these nice paved roads that we have today. We didn't necessarily have, you know, these nice beautiful pairs of shoes that you can kind of walk through town and your feet stay clean, but your shoes get dirty. So now we have a culture where we say, leave your shoes outside. But you can walk around on your feet. But back then, when you had your sandals, your feet were out. So as you're walking through the muck of Jerusalem, animal droppings, things walking through the street, passing through the roadways and the byways and everywhere you were going, eventually your feet accumulated dirt, muck, stuck to your foot. And so when you came into the house and you took off your sandals, there was usually a slave available. A what? A slave who was available there to wash your feet as soon as you arrived. But apparently in this situation, when Jesus and his disciples arrived at the upper room, there was no slave there. Jesus didn't make arrangements for that when he set aside this time for this space, as if he knew what he was doing. And when they arrived in the upper room, everybody had their sandals and their feet accumulated all the muck of walking through life, being busy here and there, but no one stopped to do the work of the slave. And the person who decided to do the work of a slave was Jesus. But notice what the Bible said before Jesus did it. It says in verse 3, Jesus knowing. Jesus what? Knowing. If Jesus knew it, it wasn't faith. It wasn't guessing. It wasn't hoping. It wasn't believing. It was knowing. At this point in time, the Bible says Jesus knowing that the Father had given how many things? All things into his hands, number one, and that he had come from God. Jesus was confident where he came from. And number two, that he was what? Going to God. So Jesus being confident, knowing God has given me everything. I've come from God and I'm going to God. It was when Jesus was so secure in who he was and his position and where he was going, he was willing to humble himself and do the work of a slave. You see, the ordinance of humility and foot washing and of communion all starts with the fundamental problem of insecurity. You see, it's easy to go through the motions of this ceremony and say, yeah, brother, let me wash your feet. Yes, yeah, sister, let me wash your feet, because this is a religious ceremony. But it is to represent the example that Jesus set for us. Do you know why we have so much infighting among us? Because people don't know that God has given all things into their hands. Because people don't know that they've come from God and that they are going to God. See, when you're confident in who you are, when you're confident in your value and someone says, hey, can you wipe off the tables? Can you clean the toilet? Can you move this trash? We don't sit there and say, well, do you know who I am? Because Jesus sure enough could have said that in the upper room. Peter, you know, no one stopped and washed my feet when I got here. And I'm your master. I'm your Lord. That's not what Jesus did. He did the exact opposite. Because I know who I am, because I am confident in who I am in God, I have no problem girding myself and washing your dirty, nasty feet. I have no problem. Humility is always strongest when there is no insecurity. But whenever we as parents or leaders or even students, we say, well, that's not my job. That's not my role. That's his job. That's that person's role. I'm not going to do it for that person. Because we feel like it puts us down. But you have no problem going down when you're very confident in who you are. And so Jesus girded himself with a towel and he started washing the disciples' feet. Now, notice the Bible says in verse 5, that as Jesus started washing the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded, it didn't say he cleaned the entire person. It says he just washed their feet. Now we have this exchange with Peter in verse 6. Then he came to Simon Peter in the order, right? So all the disciples are quiet, shocked, kind of caught by the moment, like Jesus is washing my feet. He is treating me as if I'm the master and he's the slave. And no one says anything, disciple after disciple after disciple, until he comes to Peter. And Peter says in verse 6, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Are you going to touch the dirtiest places of my life? Are you really going to get involved in the muckiest parts of who I am? There are certain parts of our lives that bring so much shame and embarrassment and mistakes and failures, it's even hard for us to open them up to Jesus. We would ask the same question that Peter is asking. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I don't want to talk to Jesus about that. Just pray, ask for forgiveness, and move on. But there is Peter with all the muck on his feet. And Jesus responded to Peter, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." You shall never wash my feet. Can you imagine that insecurity comes in two ways? Pride comes in two ways. Peter had pride, number one, because he wasn't willing to wash anybody else's feet. Now you got another kind of pride where you're not willing to let somebody else wash your feet. Jesus, you're never going to wash my feet. In the pretext that Jesus is too perfect, Jesus is too holy, I am unworthy. It doesn't just take humility to wash, it takes humility to expose yourself to be washed. Why do you think Naaman didn't want to go down in that river? You think he wanted to take off his armor and show his leprosy? That's why he almost walked away. Go wash in the Jordan River. Naaman said, I'm not doing that. That dirty river. His servants are like, Master, if he asks you to do something difficult, like climb the highest mountain, swim to the bottom of the ocean, would you not have done it? How much more when he says something simply, just go in the river and wash seven times. So he convinced Naaman. Because his true leprosy wasn't his leprosy, it was his pride. Sometimes in our own pride and arrogance, we do not allow other people to serve us. Let me explain what I mean in a little more personal way. If you're the kind of person that says something like this, I don't like to ask people for help, then you would be like Peter. I don't really like to borrow money. That one hurts, right? You don't like to ask for money. Man, I could use like $200. No, I refuse. We'll just go without. I'm not borrowing any money from anyone. Because it's just too humbling to ask. To go to someone else in need. And now they're like, well, how much money you need? And then we try to, you know, cover our pride up by saying, well, they're going to start asking me, what do you need the money for? How much do you need? When can you pay me back? Well, why didn't you do this? How come you didn't save your money from this time? We don't want to go through that because we're exposed. But there's no washing without exposure. And as Peter stops and pauses, as Jesus responds to him, he says in verse 8, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. We don't have a relationship. And so he goes, and Peter says in verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, I want to be completely apart with you. I'm all in. And Jesus responds and says this. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely what? Clean. In other words, just by washing your feet, I've actually cleansed everything. You are 100% completely clean just by washing your feet. So you say, Sebastian, why is this so important? And notice what he says, and you are clean, but not all of you. Because he knew who was going to betray him. So here's the word in John 15 that Jesus says, you are already clean. According to the word that I spoke to you when I washed your feet. So what is communion about? See, when we come to communion and foot washing, it gives us two messages. The first message is, between the last time that we were baptized or the last time that we were in communion, we've accumulated some muck along the way. We've fallen off. We neglected the Bible. We went off on our friend. We disrespected somebody. We watched something we should not have watched. We made some mistakes. And along the way, we have accumulated some muck on our feet as we have walked through life. And the purpose of communion and foot washing is to solve the problem that every time we fall away and make a mistake, we don't need to get rebaptized. We just go back to communion and he says, yes, anything that you've accumulated as you're going through life, you've been exposed to, this is the time where you can now be clean again. And if I just wash your feet, you are 100% clean. The second message is, when you come to communion, many times there has been some fruit bearing in our lives. We've borne some fruit, we're connected to Jesus, but there's also some branches in our lives that are not bearing fruit. There are some areas in our lives that we are not bringing glory to God. Because the Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. So now there's two types of branches. Those who are not abiding in Jesus, they will be removed. Because they're not bearing any fruit. But those branches that are bearing fruit, he prunes them. He takes the blade and brings it close. So all the cutting and the trials and the issues, God is looking to cut off the dead branches in our lives. And communion is the message to remind us that we come back for foot washing, to eat this bread, to drink this grape juice, to say, now, not only am I cleaning you of the muck of life, but God is coming here this afternoon to cut off the dead branches, to make you clean, to cleanse you. And after he cleanses you, he then says these words in John 15. Go back there for my last words. He says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, what are those next three words? Abide in me. So now, you've been walking, living your life, accumulating the muck and the dirt that's fallen upon your conscience. Things you've done, things you've said, things you're sorry for. And now you're coming, and when your feet get washed, you are completely clean. It's like you were just baptized. It's like you're brand new. It's like you're sparkly, shiny, waxed, and everything. 100% clean. And now Jesus says at communion, you got your feet washed, and now you're coming back to eat the bread and drink the grape juice. And he says, now that you are clean, and I've pruned you and I've cut off the dead branches and I've got rid of the muck. Now, this is what I need you to do. Three words. What are those three words? Abide in me. Abide in me. And you will continue to bear fruit. So now, brothers and sisters, we come from this week of prayer. We've had a week of studying the Word of God, of praying, of conversing, of sharing. And this is Jesus' promise. Verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Here's God's last promise. If you go through this whole week of prayer, and tomorrow morning, you stop abiding in Jesus, you will bear no fruit. All this cleansing, all those decisions, all that coming up to the altar and surrendering, because every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes it. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And if you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in Jesus. What does it mean to abide? It means to stay. It means to remain in connection with Jesus. That means to have daily personal contact with Jesus. Through prayer, through reading His Word, through fellowship, through Bible memorization, through meditation, through reflection on the things we talked about this week. The worst thing that can happen to you is to finish this week of prayer and tomorrow you and I stop abiding. We stop drawing life from Jesus. Listen to me, even if that means 5 minutes. Sebastian, we're so busy here at Fountainview. Okay, give me 5 minutes. Give God 5 minutes. At least you're having contact with Him. At least you're drawing something. But if we are not abiding, all that cleansing, which here it just comes through a basin of water. But you and I both know that our cleansing came at a greater cost than that. It came at the cost of Jesus' life. Cleansing us was not just as easy as pouring a basin of water and wiping it off with a towel. It costs Jesus' life, His blood, to make us clean. Book Education, she says, many, even in their seasons of devotion, do not experience real communion with God. She says, with hurried steps, we rush out of the loving presence of the Savior. We have no time. She says, we have no time to remain in the presence of the Savior, to receive counsel. And she says, with hurried steps, as we pass through His loving presence, we return to our lives with our burdens. Guaranteed, you will be overwhelmed. You'll be discouraged. You'll be bogged down. You'll be burned out. And you're having devotion. Seasons of devotion. But you're not experiencing real communion with God. We're not abiding. She says, we need to give ourselves time to do three things. Are you ready? She says we need to give ourselves time to do three things. She says time to think, time to pray, and time to wait upon God to renew our physical, mental, and spiritual power. You need to change your whole to-do list and your schedule so that it says, okay, class, practice, I got to go to my job, and there needs to be time in there. Just write your name in the slot. This is my time. I have to give myself time to think, to pray, and then to wait upon God to renew my physical body, my mind, and my spiritual strength. And if I abide, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We as Adventists, we are busy people. People talk about it's difficult to work. Many of us don't know how to rest. So guess what happens? God allows disease to make us rest. Now you don't have a choice. God allows circumstances to happen. Things collapse. Stuff burns down. Things don't work out. Money runs out. Why? Because you won't stop. And God in His love and desperation, who wants to help us and save us, makes us stop. Now you have no choice but to rest. And even then, we don't want to rest. We're apologizing because we're sick. We're apologizing that someone else has to take up our responsibilities because we're not able to, because we're not well. We must learn to abide in Jesus. She finishes the statement by saying, we need personal contact with Jesus. This is our need. Personal contact with Jesus. Like a branch has contact with the vine to draw life from the vine. So now that we've been connected, do you feel that God has connected you to Himself this week? Yes or no? If you feel that way, now that God has made that connection, you only need to think about three words. Abide in me. Stay there. Where you are right now, stay there. Ready to hear the word of God. Where you are right now, stay there. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. Where we are right now, stay there. Interested in learning more and more and more about Jesus. Trusting His promises. That place we are right now, Jesus says, just abide. Just stay there. Don't come down. Don't adjust. Just stay. Right where you are. I always tell people that a week of prayer, it's like going through a photo shoot. The person's just taking pictures. They're looking for the right picture. And as the person they're taking pictures of, they're kind of adjusting and moving around and doing all these things, trying to find the perfect picture. And then when they get to that one position, the lighting is right, their face is right, their eyes are right, everything looks perfect. What do you think that comes out of their mouth? What do they say? Stay right there. Do not move. He starts grabbing another camera lens. Stay right there. Just hold that position. And the person is doing everything in their power to maintain that position because, like, that is the picture we're looking for. And right now, when you go through a week of prayer, Where your heart is, where your mind is, the decisions you're making, your sensitivity to the Spirit of God. God is like, yes, that's where I want you. Stay right there. That's the picture I want. You're there. Just stay there. Don't move. Don't move. That's exactly the picture that God was looking for. Now He's got us into that position. May the Lord help us to abide. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your word and we thank You for Your grace. We ask, Father, in a very special way that as we go through this service, Lord, that our hearts would be in it and that this would not just be a formality. And if there's someone here today that feels like maybe they need to be clean. Maybe you've accumulated some muck, some dirt from just the past several months since your last communion, or maybe even your baptism. And you're like, Lord, I need You to wash my feet today so I can be completely clean. And I want You to teach me to abide in You. That's your prayer. I just want you to stand to your feet right where you are. Say, Lord, I need You to cleanse me, and I want You to teach me to abide in You. Father in heaven, You see those of us who have stood. You see our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our needs. Father, impress upon every soul that has stood the amazing, wonderful, and beautiful truth that we are completely clean. It is all washed away through the blood of Jesus. And now, Father, we pray that You would teach us to abide in You, to stay right where we are right now, where we are in heart, where we are in mind, where we are in our spirit. Lord, help us to abide in Jesus, to give us time to think and to pray and to wait upon God. This is our prayer, and we trust that You will help this to be our experience. For we offer this prayer from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.